That was the Money Talks by the Kinks on their album. I believe it's disc 2, Kinks, BBC Sessions, 1964 to 1977. And Money will be, coincidentally enough, Money will be sort of a subject in this first off, let me just say you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. And of course, you can stream us online at weft.org. My name is Ben. This is the program where we are at. I am live and in the studio. I hope you are having a good Monday. The date is September 27th, 2021. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. Let's see. I hope you are, as I said, are having a good Monday, whether you're driving home from work or you're studying for if you're at college. College student. Here at WEFT, we celebrated 40 years on the air. We had some music, some food. We had a raffle to celebrate 40 years. So hopefully we'll make it another 40. Let's make it to 2061. Hopefully we'll still be around. I'll be pretty old then, but hopefully, hey, who knows? I might still be here in Champaign, here at WEFT. Let's see. If you missed our 40 our celebration, but you still want to show your support for WEFT, you can give us a donation. You can give us a payment since we are a volunteer run station. You can go to www.weft.org and to make a payment there for your financial support. You could also call us. Our phone number is 217-359-9338. Again, that phone number, 217-359-9338. You could also walk down and give your financial support to 113 North Market Street in downtown Champaign. I'll just read this because I want to at least get some public service announcements before I get started with the program. Because I do have I went to the a protest that happened outside the sheriff's office in Urbana yesterday. That was also going on yesterday, along with with what we did here at WEFT. Right before it was in the afternoon, but but let me read this before I get started with any more of the programming. Consider your support. Supporting the program you loved here at WEFT. We will gladly accept that vehicle you've been following, you've been looking to get rid of. Our vehicle donation programming provides an effortless option to support WEFT Community Radio. You can give CARS, which stands for Charitable Adult Rides and Services, a call at 1-855-500-RIDE or 7433. So the number you would call again, 1-855-500-7433. You can also fill out a secure donation form at careasy.org, careasy, careasy.org. Just remember to designate WEFT as the nonprofit beneficiary of your gift. WEFT truly appreciates supporters like you. And, I might come around a half hour, 6:30-ish, with some more announcements. So I'm going to, as I mentioned yesterday, there was a protest against evictions moratorium. Since the Supreme Court struck down the national moratorium, ruling it saying that it was unconstitutional and an overstep of the government. But there, here in Illinois, we have one, our eviction moratorium ends in 1 week. And this protest was organized by the Party for Social, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, PSL. And I'm just going to play that audio. I have it queued up. I think, yep, it should be queued up and ready to go. So this is a protest that happened outside the sheriff's office in Urbana yesterday against eviction moratorium. Against evictions, excuse me. The protest against evictions.
Sheriff would still come knocking with a piece of paper. The police with their doorbuster would come knocking, saying, you got to get out of here. But at the end of the day, we still have to recognize that housing is a human right guaranteed by the United Nations. That is why one of the many reasons that we say socialism is incompatible with the needs of humanity. Sorry, capitalism is incompatible with the needs of humanity, and that only socialism can respect that. Only when we put people over profits, not the other way around, can we make sure that housing, food, etc., are guaranteed and realized as rights for humanity. What we're doing here today is part of a nationwide weekend of action called by Cancel the Rents and the Party for Socialism and Liberation, with over 70 similar actions going on in over 60 cities around the country. There was one just yesterday, Bloomington Normal, about 45 minutes away. There's one on the south side of Chicago today, north side tomorrow. And there's been actions from California to New York to Florida to right here in the center of the country, central Illinois. We have three primary demands as part of the nationwide weekend of action. The first is for Congress to enact an immediate and indefinite eviction moratorium. We've seen a lot, or I've seen a lot, maybe you have too, in the newspapers or on TV, that Democrats would love to give us an eviction moratorium, but they can't, it's against the rules. There are no such rules. These are just made up things that they agreed to do, but that there's no legal obligation. You may have heard of, you know, the filibuster or the need for a supermajority or that mean old parliamentarian that's keeping Democrats from helping the people. These are all, like I said, made up rules. If the Democratic Party were sincere and interested in meeting the needs of the people, there is no legal obligation for them. No legal obligation for them to follow these kind of traditions, really. And that is another reason why we are organized as a separate party, not within the Democratic Party, but in our own party, a party of the working class, of oppressed people, of socialists, because we can't just talk about the Democratic Party without recognizing that it is historically and to this day a capitalist party, that it has a capitalist quality, character, in the same way that it has a white supremacist character or quality, in the same way that it has a misogynistic character or quality. As I said, this is not something, these crises that we are living through are not something that we can band-aid our way out of, that are just bad right now, but it's going to get better, that we're going to go back to normal, right? It's not make America great again, but it's also America was never great. We need a new alternative, a meaningful left alternative. And that's one of the reasons that, like I said, we are organized here today as a party and as a nationwide campaign. Our second demand from Congress is to ensure the quick and effective delivery of the funds made available for rental assistance to those who need them. It has been a slap shot and just poor and ineffective job of distributing the billions of dollars to the people who need it, the people in our community who need it. The money is out there. This is not a, you know, you might hear Democrats, it's not Democrats, or some Democrats, but mostly Republicans say, you know, where is the money? It's already out here. They've already signed the bill for most of that money, but they intentionally left it difficult to receive, difficult to actually access, because then it's, oh, it's the state's fault. We in Congress are fine. When, of course, they're actually complicit in the entire thing. And that's part of the reason that not only is this a weekend of action, but like I said, this has been a long-going nationwide campaign, Cancel the Rents. We here in the PSL here in Champaign-Urbana have been going out for the past month canvassing in areas with very low rates of owner occupancy, which is to say high rates of people who rent, whether it's a house or an apartment, to say, hey, do you need help accessing these funds? Do you need help? Are you at risk of eviction? Because there is power in community that can help us access these funds, that can help our neighbors access these funds to keep in their, to keep them in their apartments, keep them in their homes while the cases are still rising and as we go into winter. We've been successful in garnering over 150 signatures in support of demanding that the sheriff and the law enforcement in Champaign County more broadly do not enforce evictions. It is easy for us to see evictions as part of just what happens, that it's inevitable, that, you know, when you don't pay rent, you get evicted. That you don't pay rent, the cops come and bring you out of your house. It doesn't have to be that way. It is not a law that when you don't pay rent, that the state, you know, the, or the city government, state government, county government comes and kicks you out. If you make it a hard enough deal for the police, for the sheriff to evict you, they won't do it. They'll go home. There have been very successful tenants unions in Los Angeles, in New York, in cities in Florida, for example. And that's one of the things we want to build here, is that kind of strong community network that can not only help communities grow and access the help that they need after it's made available, but to actually preempt it, to not have houseless neighbors who we have to build community pantries for, like next to the IMC and down by the city building in Champaign. That's great work, obviously, but the hope, the hope is that we don't have to do that anymore. And lastly, what we are demanding is that Congress extend a moratorium, not just an eviction, sorry, an eviction moratorium, not just until the pandemic is over, but an indefinite one. One that cancels rent, not just in the future, but back rent. Because that is at this point what the primary issue is now. The average back rent owed by a renter in Illinois is $3,700. If any of you guys have $3,700, let me know. Do any of you have $3,700 just on hand?
No.
It would be a debt.
Right. This is a crisis of housing. This is a crisis of the market distribution of a human need, of a human right. And ultimately, this is a crisis of capitalism. I say crisis is a very particular word. This is not a temporary issue. This is not a knee scrape. This is a crisis that can only be overcome, worked through, and beaten, essentially, by a change in the underlying system, by socialism. So that was my introduction, a little bit of framing for why we are here today and who we are. We have a couple of speakers here today that I'm really excited about. First, I want to welcome Alan Axelrod from the local DSA to come talk to you guys. And I'll pass it off to him. Give him a warm welcome. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, as introduced, my name is Alan Max Axelrod. I am speaking in my capacity as a co-chair for the Champaign-Urbana DSA in solidarity with the Party for Socialism and Liberation in Champaign-Urbana. Let's start by framing. This is not a back rent crisis. This is a laundered landlord bailout. If the governor, or if the government, rather, I got other names on the government, governor later. If the government instead canceled all rents and it was bailing out landlords, you bet your ass they'd get that money distributed instead of saying, oh, somehow we can't distribute this billions of dollars of money. It's just sitting there. It's because it's not going to the people they're politically beholden to, so why bother? I also want to note that although the state of Illinois, on paper, has an eviction moratorium at least through October 3rd, which is very interesting in itself, we'll get into that, we have had eviction cases in Champaign County since December of last year. The governor, J.B. Pritzker, had weakened the eviction moratorium that we had in Illinois from a blanket moratorium to a means-tested moratorium. They are penalizing the most vulnerable households and had been evicting them for nearly a year now. And what we've seen with housing insecurity is that COVID cases go up. So we, in recognition of that, through the No Ameren Shutoffs campaign, which Party for Socialism and Liberation is a member organization, in January distributed an open letter calling for the sheriff, Dustin Heumann, to suspend the enforcement of evictions. So I'm gonna read a couple of names off of some of the people who have signed on to that. District 10 County Board Member, Mary King of Champaign County. District County Board Member of District 5, Leah Taylor has signed on to this. Champaign County Democratic Central Committee Member, Christina Hopkins has signed on to this. District 10 Champaign County Board Member Chris Storr has signed on to this.
Andy Kornstrom of the City of Champaign Township has signed on to a letter calling for the suspension of evictions by the sheriff in Champaign County. Julie Pride of the Public Health District has signed on to this letter. Woo! Former county board member in District 6, Cameron Rabb, signed on to this letter. Democratic Precinct Committee person Beau Barber has signed on to this letter. Former Urbana City Council person Dennis Roberts in District 5 or Ward 5 signed on to this letter. Ward 3 Urbana City Council, that's my alder person, Cherise Hersey, signed on to this letter. Former county board member of District 11, that's also my county board district, Tatiana Ammons, signed on to this letter. Danielle Chenoweth, Cunningham Township Supervisor, signed on to this letter. Mike Ingram, Champaign Recorder of Deeds, signed on to this letter. Former city council person, Clarissa Nickerson, foreman of District 1 in Champaign, signed on to this letter. Brody Dunn, Champaign County Democratic Precinct Committee person, signed on to this letter. Kyle Patterson, Champaign County Board Chair, signed on to this letter. Deshaun Williams, former Champaign County Board Member District 6, signed on to this letter. Jordan Humphrey, former Champaign County Board Member District 5, signed on to this letter. Evangeline Pianfetti, Champaign City Councilwoman, signed on to this letter. Will Kyles, Champaign City Council, signed on to this letter. Alicia Beck, Champaign City Council District 2, signed on to this letter. Stephanie Furtado, Champaign County Board District 8, signed on to this letter. And I'm skipping over all the out-of-county ones. Cassandra C.J. Johnson of Champaign County Treasurer's Office signed on to this letter. Eric Thorsland of the Champaign County Board signed on to this letter. Rick E. Baldwin signed on in his capacity as a precinct committee person for the Democratic Party for the, in this letter. Mary Alice Wu, Ward 1 of Urbana City Council, signed on to this letter. So why the hell hasn't the sheriff suspended evictions like he did in March of 2020 last year before the state did? The eviction moratorium we have right now, if you read the news, wasn't supposed to happen. In the summer, Governor J.B. Pritzker said that in August, the eviction moratorium in Illinois would expire. The conditions have obviously changed. And it wasn't Delta. It wasn't the Delta coronavirus. According to the Illinois Department of Health, the Delta coronavirus has been in Illinois since April. What months were the lowest months in our COVID history in Illinois? May, June, and then July it increased again. PSL is part of the No Ameren Shutoffs campaign, a coalition of 49 member organizations spanning the state of Illinois and beyond, that has been fighting against utility shutoffs because they are a way of dehousing people without getting an eviction. It was a way to undermine what little eviction protections we had in this state and country. At the end of June of this year, the Utility Disconnection Avoidance Program, which was one of the concessions won by the No Ameren Shutoffs campaign, it paid $115 million for 121,000 households' utility bills in this state. That program expired at the end of June. 2 weeks later, we were over 1,000 cases a day. The trend upwards in coronavirus cases started July 15th. You can see this all on the Illinois Department of Health websites. We have to be rigorous in opposing all the different ways that they will threaten housing security during a pandemic on behalf of Capitol and their donors. We have a bunch of politicians who are running for re-election in 2022. They couldn't give a damn about us unless if we share these details and create such a large liability that they have to address it. That's what No Ameren Shutoffs has done repeatedly. We won 4 moratoria on utility shutoffs. We got $115 million from the state government on a $0 campaign. And to date, including 2 resolutions this week, we passed 10 resolutions in 9 political bodies spanning 6 counties calling on Governor J.B. Pritzker and the federal government to stop utility shutoffs because we need to keep people housed in order to keep people safe. Thank you for having me to speak today. Solidarity with PSL. Keep up the struggle. Woo!
Thank you once again, Alan. Give him a round of applause. Woo! All righty, thank you. I'd like to call our next speaker, another PSL member and organizer, Alex Rogers. Please give them once again a warm welcome. Woo! Can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Hello, my name is Alex. I'm an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation. And today I intend to give some historical examples that highlight the nefarious and violent ways in which capitalists and the state go about enforcing the housing problem as it exists here in the United States. The COVID pandemic is not the only time in which Americans have struggled to find housing, and I would argue that housing... That housing doesn't have to be, nor should it be, a struggle. Housing is a human right, full stop. No one should have to exist under a governance that cares for them so little as to allow them to perpetually struggle to keep a roof over their head or let them starve and die in the streets. The myth of personal responsibility over this issue is eclipsed by the historical progression of housing under capitalism and its intended effects. I say intended because these housing crises are not crises at all. They stem from voluntary actions taken by legislators, city planners, and shareholders who make their decisions based on what will provide them the most capital to them and their constituents, not based on how many people they can provision with the basic necessity of a roof over their head. The Homeowners Loan Act, a piece of Roosevelt restructuring legislation, was written in 1933 to, quote, provide emergency relief with respect to home mortgage indebtedness, to refinance home mortgages, to extend relief to the owners occupied by them and who are unable to amortize their debt elsewhere. Put simply, to help people, all people, repay mortgages, debts, and other housing expenditures. It is lauded as one of the most successful pieces of relief-based legislation in the time period, but what isn't included in the final analysis is the race-based discrimination people faced in the process of being helped by the act. Whoa. Millions of white Americans were helped by the act, while black Americans were hung out to dry, left on red, denied home-saving and life-saving funds that would allow them to continue to exist non-homeless and not in, in struggle for homefulness. In every major city in the US, gentrification and isolation run amok, from its inception to Roosevelt-era development until now. Food deserts, where people are packed into tenement housing and stripped of all their basic necessities, occupy large swaths of every city and their suburbs. No effort is made to give people in these areas grocery stores, gymnasiums, public and civic centers, and other life-affirming and flourishing amenities. Entire neighborhoods are torn apart every decade in the development of the United States infrastructure to make way for roads and new businesses. All of this was done in the name of, quote, beautifying the city, or public health, while nothing was done to solve the systemic problem of housing inequity under capitalism. For a historical example of LGBT and queer housing discrimination, I turn to mid-60s San Francisco in the Central Tenderloin District. This was a place where mass discrimination against trans people took place, so much so that cops would dump trans people here after being released. Police would give people who appeared to be genderqueer or androgynous the message that they, quote unquote, belonged only in Tenderloin District. Housing discrimination was rife, and LGBT and queer peoples had no protections against the bigotry of landlords. It wasn't uncommon for people to live one dozen to a hotel room, rotating rooms every night so they would not get caught. The Tenderloin District was left out of urban renewal projects, and many were forced to find employment as sex workers or in seedy entertainment venues that operated under the thumb of police, with many more working on the streets, subject to the perils of homeless life and police violence. Here we see how state apparatus, the police, violently enforced housing discrimination to uphold the bigoted views of the state and its apparatus. Views may be shifting to more open and accepting viewpoints, but this discrimination still exists today, both from the state and from close-knit communities. 13% of LGBT young people felt supported by their parents or guardians while homeless. That leaves the remaining 83% to feel unsupported. Half of queer people in the United States fear that expressing their identity to their family members will result in them being evicted. 1 in 10 say the same about romantic partners. The vast majority of queer people in the United States have faced some form of discrimination or harassment while accessing housing-related services. This shows that while the facade of performative acceptance of LGBT peoples in the United States that they attempt to indicate that we have become a more progressive nation, it is clear that housing is a fundamental fear
in the minds and bodies of queer people all across the country, and there are not enough resources that are accessible and non-exploitative to this already vulnerable community. A more recent example of housing discrimination and capital exploitation includes the housing crisis of 2004 to 2014, with the peak being the popping of the housing bubble in 2008. One of the myths of this planned action is that the fallout stemmed from efforts to help poor and working class peoples become first-time homeowners. The largest increase in black home ownership occurred between 1994 and 2001, when lenders, encouraged by government-sponsored investors like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they sought out poor, working class, and predominantly black first-time home buyers in record numbers. These long-term, fixed-rate loans performed well, and as housing values rose, the equity wealth these loans created became a tempting target for cash-out refinancing. Black Americans were also targeted for equity stripping loans that appeared to cost little up front, but were actually expensive and risky in the long run. As the recession deepened, these mortgages only got more difficult to repay, as rising cost of living and increased unemployment shook working class communities nationwide. To drive this point home, all gains that Black Americans made in housing ownership prior to 2008 were wiped out in a matter of years. And as it stands now, black homeownership in the United States is lower than it was when the Fair Housing Act of 1968 was passed. All these historical examples and systemic problems are inherent to capitalism, and there is no way for a capitalist system to meaningfully address these problems. Under capitalism, beautifying the town will always be for the stakeholders and the profit, not for the people that get crushed by the developmental projects that were disingenuously pitched as a boost to the community. This is a cyclical process that ensures the continued stranglehold those in control of housing have on the communities that suffer under them. Investment brings development. Overdevelopment in one area leads to stagnation and decline, which sees a need for reinvestment, continuing the cycle. This unsustainable fracking of human living space cannot continue for the health and safety of those currently living under these conditions, and for those who will come to be living under these conditions. There is no free energy, there is no perpetual motion, there is only the continued exploitation of a weary growing population of angry voices who have been stamped on and cast aside for far too long. Proponents of capitalism, mainly white, college-educated, middle-aged persons, will say, rising tides lift all boats, but fail to account for the fact that those who control the tides purposefully leave some boats behind. They will point to a rising stock market, the increased value of their own home, their own general financial security, and say, see, things are getting better. Willfully forgetful of the fact that two neighborhoods over, families are struggling to keep a roof over their heads. This is nothing less than a deliberate attempt by those in power to subvert the gaze of those who may object to their unfair practices and discriminatory attitudes. So, what is the solution? How does one fight a leviathan of bigoted slumlords, greedy lenders, racist legislation, and corrupt governments? The answer is not to fight alone, but with our communities and our comrades. We propose a solution of collective action and collective ownership. The solution lies in the abolition of the capitalist mode of production and the appropriation of all means of life and labor by the working class itself. The answer is not to turn individual workers into individual owners, but the totality of society into collective owners. There exists roughly 1.5 million unoccupied homes in America, and with 500,000 homeless people in this country, there are clearly enough unused homes to meet the demands and needs of the people. Housing is not a commodity, it is a right, and we do not have to take this forceful exploitation any longer. We propose to fight back here in Champaign-Urbana for those whose lives and livelihoods are at stake currently, and for those who have died and struggled in the fight for housing justice. Thank you for coming out to participate in this action, and may we be united in our efforts to house everyone in Champaign-Urbana in safe, flourishing homes and communities.
Thank you so much, Alex. Our penultimate speaker, I'd like to invite Emily, a UHS student representing RED, which is Radical Education for Democracy. Please give her a huge welcome. Thank you. Woo!
Hello, everyone. My name is Emily Sanders, and I'm a senior at Urbana High School, and I'm a part of Radical Education for Democracy, or Red Club. Red Club started with four people in a classroom just talking about socialism, and it's grown to over 25 in just a matter of two meetings. Huh. The young people in this community are beginning to come together to demand a change in the system, and I'm here today to lift up the voices of my friends and peers at UHS. I also want to extend my gratitude to the Party of Socialism and Liberation for being extremely generous and offering themselves as a resource to us and allowing us to join in on their efforts for solidarity in this community, but also for being extremely supportive of high school students who are learning and trying to make a difference. Woo. Students at Urbana High School are immersed in a melting pot of multiculturalism and diversity. We have a minority enrollment of over 60%, with over 50% of students identifying as Black or Latinx. I say this because Black and Latinx people are twice as likely to report being at risk for eviction or being behind on housing payments. Any further evictions carried out after the nationwide moratorium ends will disproportionately affect these people, my fellow students, and their families. And we all know that COVID-19 has been proven to spike in times of housing insecurity and when there were no moratoriums in place. So it is not only unjust and immoral to carry out these evictions, but it also puts these vulnerable people, my peers, at increased health risks. It is a threat to their safety. At UHS, over 60% of our students are reported to be low income or in poverty, with many being 130% below the poverty line. In 2018, we had 28 homeless students. 28. That's 2.4% of our school population. That may seem like an insignificant number or small compared to our student body of over 1,200 students, but it is 28 children and their families who struggle and do not have access to safe and consistent housing. 2.4% of students who not only struggle to live safely, but put food on their tables, have access to safe and reliable medical care, and attend school to receive their education on a consistent basis. Although no numbers have been released for our school's homelessness rate during the pandemic, we can only assume how these unprecedented times have affected those already struggling to pay rent. This is why the issue of evictions and accumulating rent debt is so important to me. The issue of rent burden and struggling to pay for shelter that is needed to survive is happening at my own school. My peers should not have to feel the fear of being kicked out of their own homes and treated as less than human for being financially burdened during a time where many have lost their jobs, lost hours that they can work, or have had to stay home due to sickness. Housing in Champaign-Urbana has too often been treated like a privilege and not a human right. I am here to say that access to safe and affordable housing without fear of eviction or the future burdens caused by eviction is and should be treated as a human right. The Illinois state government has stated that they will follow whatever moratoriums the federal government decides to impose. However, the Supreme Court, a tool of the bourgeois legal order, has shut down the possibility of extending this moratorium nationally. That affects us here in Urbana, it affects us all over Illinois, and it affects us nationally when it comes to an end October 3rd. This is because the capitalist system we live under today values money more than it does people. Profit should never be more important than the human lives and well-beings of those around us. Yet we're raised in a society where this is normal, where working class people are pitted against each other in a fight for survival. By the end of July, only 10% of the billions allocated for rent assistance had been distributed nationally. This was an issue too in Illinois as well. Only 19% of tenants were able to secure assistance by this time, while our government has billions to spend. We demand that Congress pass an indefinite and national moratorium on evictions and increase the distribution of these funds. Not only that, but at a local level, we demand that our sheriff, Sheriff Harmon, work with our city council to ensure that no unjust evictions occur past October 3rd and to immediately cease all illegal evictions, often in the form of utility shutoffs and the aggressive collection of utility payments that have been occurring despite these federally mandated moratorium. Because of this, I fear for the livelihoods of many students at UHS as the moratorium draws closer and closer. I fear for their families who are overworked and underpaid or out of jobs completely during this time. I fear for those in neighboring areas and around the country who may not know where they are going to live next, if anywhere at all. We have the power to create change here. We have the power to stop these immoral and illegal evictions and start to recognize housing as a human right. We are tired of asking politely. We demand that the city of Champaign-Urbana listen and work tirelessly to cancel the rents. Thank you.
I'm going to stop the there for a little bit because excuse me. I have some public service announcements. WEFT is currently seeking on-air talent. Have you ever turn my roof? I'm hearing myself. Have you considered hosting a show of your own on WEFT Champaign, or are you a former WEFT airshifter itching to get back on the air? You're in luck because WEFT currently has openings in our on-air schedule. Whether you have time for a weekly, bi-weekly, or once a month commitment, we're happy to discuss the available options and possibilities with you. WEFT's next airshifter training program rotation will begin with online classroom training on Tuesday, October 5th. Please visit WEFT's homepage at weft.org and scroll down to the page to the airshifter training section, where you'll find the link to our training application. Once completed, email your application to airshiftertraining@weft.org. That's airshiftertraining, all one word, @weft.org. You can also drop it off at the station here located at 113 North Market Street, Champaign. Any questions regarding training or available airshifters or available airshifts may be forwarded to airshiftertraining@weft.org or programming, programming, @weft.org. You can also leave us a message at our phone number, again, 217-359-9338. We look forward to hearing from you soon. And just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker, do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. And as you've been hearing a lot about rent assistance, you know, with this whole eviction moratorium, if you or somebody you know is in need of needing emergency rent assistance, you can go to the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission website, which is ccrpc.org. Click on Programs and Services, and then go to there. You should see Emergency Rent Assistance. So yeah, again, so Champaign County Regional Planning Commission website, which is again ccrpc.org. I hope this helps. If you need assistance, go to Programs and Services, and then I believe that you'll also see LIHEAP, so information about low income and home energy assistance under home and energy. And let's see, where is your family? If you go to Programs and Services at the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission website, which is again, for the final time, ccrpc.org, go to Programs and Services, where you should find emergency rent assistance. They will tell you all the information you need to apply for your application, such as photo identification, rent, copy of your lease, past due utility bills, and proof of income of household from tax due 2020 form. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm going to continue playing the audio. I hope I will be able to finish it, but I'm going to continue playing the rest of the speeches from yesterday's protest against evictions.
Thank you once again, Emily. That was great. Mm-hmm. Now for our last speaker, I'd like to call up one last organizer from the PSL, Harant. Please give him a warm welcome as he's our last speaker today. Woo! Thanks all for coming out today. My name's Harant. I'm an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
So why are we out here today? The Party for Socialism and Liberation is fighting for more than just reforms. We are fighting to transform the society, the economy, everything that has created this eviction crisis. We are fighting for a socialist transformation of society. Now, I am ambitious and I am optimistic, but I don't think we're going to achieve a socialist transformation of society before October 3rd. And that's why we're out here today, because the very limited protections that our community has against evictions expire in just 1 week. Now, how did we get here? A month ago, the Supreme Court, an unelected, unaccountable body of American elites, decided that mass evictions are okay and should go ahead. You might remember that the Supreme Court, over the past month, has been on a roll of allowing the violation of people's basic human rights. Just a few weeks ago, they gave the green light to a law in Texas restricting women's most basic human right to control their own bodies. So the Supreme Court, a body of 9 individuals selected by a council of 100 people serving life terms, never once directly accountable to citizens, made these decisions. And the striking down of the eviction moratorium was not even a close vote. It was 6-3. 2/3 of the Supreme Court decided the eviction moratorium just had to go. And the decision itself was horrific, because it didn't just strike down the eviction moratorium. The reasons for striking it down were particularly horrific. The Supreme Court justices, 6 of them, said that it had to be struck down because an eviction moratorium called by the National Public Health Authority was a slippery slope. And I'm drawing this directly from the opinion. They said that if the CDC can mandate an end to evictions, what's next? Free grocery deliveries? Yeah, they said that. They said that. The Supreme Court thinks that guaranteeing people's one basic human right is a slippery slope guaranteeing other basic human rights. If the government
can, that's the way it should be.
If the government can prevent people from, if the government prevents people from being homeless, what's next? The government preventing people from starving? Yeah, this is the government we have. This is the Supreme Court making decisions every single day that affect our lives. And Congress has been wringing their hands about, either they've been for evictions or they've been wringing their hands about this for the past month, because, you know, Congress could act. They struck down the CDC eviction moratorium. It wasn't a congressional moratorium. Congress could act, but they've been spending the last month making excuses. So that's how we got here. That's the federal level. The national government won't do anything. So how about the state government? As Alan alluded to, we do have an eviction moratorium. It's not a good one, I'll tell you that. Because it allows evictions to still be processed in the courts. So as soon as the eviction moratorium expires, landlords are primed to start throwing their tenants out on the street. Woo! Furthermore, this moratorium is full of loopholes. For instance, it doesn't cover people who can't prove economic hardship due to the pandemic. The pandemic is a huge, all-encompassing crisis. It's impacted people in many different ways, directly and indirectly. Not everyone has easy proof that their hardship is due to the pandemic. And broad statements like that provide easy loopholes for landlords to work around this moratorium. All a landlord has to do is notify a tenant 5 whole days before an eviction, and the tenant, if the tenant can't come up with proof that their hardship is due to the pandemic in 5 days, boom, out on the street. That's some moratorium. But the biggest problem with this moratorium is that it ends in a week. And if our governor had a shred of human decency, he would extend it. But it's coming down to the wire. We got a week left and then nothing. And so we got, this is what we have from the state government. We have a week moratorium full of loopholes that expires in a week. That is the kind of useless, worthless, sorry excuse for leadership that we have in Springfield. There's still time, there's still a week, but I'm not counting on it. J.B. Pritzker, he's worth what, $4 billion? I don't think he's thought a lot about being homeless in his life. So then we get to the county level. Because it's not just J.B. Pritzker who can act, there's someone right here who could prevent evictions in Champaign County.
Yes, sir.
His name is Dustin Huerman. He's the sheriff, he works in that building, and the sheriff's office carries out evictions. Dustin Huerman could say tomorrow that no evictions will be carried out in Champaign County. And you know what would happen? No evictions. That easy. And that's not unprecedented either. Just up north, the sheriff of Cook County at the beginning of the pandemic prevented his deputies from carrying out evictions. This is not a thing that has never happened anywhere. This is easy, this is simple, this is not unprecedented. So why is this not happening? We were out here a month ago calling for no evictions to be carried out by the sheriff. Sheriff hasn't done anything. Well, what has the sheriff been up to in the past month? He has been up to something. He wants to take half of Champaign County's COVID relief funding and put it towards expanding the jail.
No!
How's that?
No.
How's that? We got no prevention of evictions. We got half of our relief funding going to putting people in jail. That's what the sheriff's doing. But we're out here because we're right here, right in front of the sheriff's office, because any day Dustin Huerman could decide no more evictions, Champaign County. It's that easy. Not all problems have an easy solution. This is one that has an easy solution. There is one man who can unilaterally take action. Now, I want everyone to remember this. I want Dustin Huerman to remember this. Because eviction, there is no humanitarian exception for evictions. Evictions include everyone, the young, the old, parents, children, the elderly, the sick, the disabled. Anyone can be evicted. You think none of those people facing eviction have kids? I want... I want the sheriff to think about that. If he doesn't act and his deputies start throwing people out on the street, I want him to think about every single person who is made homeless, every single child who is made homeless. Imagine looking them in the eyes and saying, I had the power to stop this, and I chose not to. I made a conscious decision to make you and your family homeless. I want the sheriff to think about that every time someone is thrown out on the street, because he has the power to stop it. And if he does not, he will be personally responsible for the result. And I want everyone here today and in Champaign County to remember that if mass evictions are carried out, one man, Dustin Huerman, had the chance to stop it and chose not to. Now, what is the scale of evictions that we are facing? Statistics say that about 13% of people in Illinois are behind on rent. That's not just a handful of people. That's 13% of people in this state. Think about 13% of Champaign County behind on rent. And come October 3rd, across the state of Illinois, some 120,000 people will be imminently facing eviction. 120,000 people. That's almost the population of Champaign and Urbana combined. Across the state, facing eviction. Can you imagine 120,000 people just in Illinois being thrown out on the street? So this is not just a handful of people, and we know this. We held a protest a month ago, right here, making these demands, and over the past month, we've been building a movement locally against evictions. We've been sending people out to gather support all across Champaign and Urbana, all across the county, and we've been speaking to people, asking people if they're at risk of eviction, if they need help, and dozens of people have asked us for assistance in filling out rental assistance applications. Many people have talked to us about their personal fears of being evicted, let alone their neighbors and friends' fears of being evicted. So we know from the work that we have done that this is not an isolated problem, that people across our community are facing this threat. So once again, that's why we are here demanding that the one man who has the power to prevent evictions takes action. And we're not just asking, we're not saying a moratorium with loopholes, we're saying no evictions. No evictions, period. And more than that, we're not gonna settle for these 2-week extensions anymore, because the pandemic is not gonna be over in 2 weeks. J.B. Pritzker extended the moratorium, which existed because of the pandemic, to October 3rd. That's in a week. Is the pandemic gonna be over in a week? Are hospitals gonna stop being overloaded in a week? Whoa. Is the economic recovery to economic state that was frankly pretty darn bad gonna happen in a week?
This is genocidal. They're killing people.
Yeah, what do you think is going to be the impact of throwing all these people out on the street? On public safety, on public health. This is a crisis, not just for people facing eviction, but for everybody. Mm. And we are demanding no evictions, not for 2 weeks, not for 3 weeks, not for a month, but until all rent and mortgage debt is canceled. Because that is how we get out of this eviction crisis. If we keep extending the moratoriums by a couple weeks, we're gonna keep this threat looming over people who are just down on their luck because of things they don't have control over. The only way to get out of this crisis, the only way to get out of this crisis is to cancel all rent and mortgage debt. Congress can do that. That is our other main demand. And until that happens, we need Dustin Huerman, the sheriff of Champaign County, to refuse to carry out evictions. It's not hard. He can do it any day, anytime. It's never too late to stop evictions. Now, what happens if he doesn't? Are we just gonna watch as our community members get thrown out on the street?
No!
Hell no. We are gonna fight. I hope everyone is ready to fight against evictions, because we will do whatever is necessary to prevent our friends and our neighbors, our community members, from being thrown out on the street. Yeah. It is unjust that hundreds, perhaps thousands of people in Champaign-Urbana are going to be facing homelessness in just 7 days, not to mention the people who have already been evicted through the loopholes or through illegal evictions, which have been going on. We have to come together and fight. We have been fighting, we have been building this movement throughout the past month, and we need everybody's help. We need everyone in this community to come together and prevent evictions in Champaign County by whatever means necessary. We will fight this eviction crisis. We will keep people in their homes. We will fight to guarantee the basic human right to housing. Woo! Woo! We were out here just a month ago demanding that the sheriff refuse to carry out evictions. The date then was September 18th. For the eviction moratorium to end. Now it is October 3rd. Over the past month, we have not just been resting. We have been building a movement. We have been talking to people. We have been finding out what people need. We have been bringing people into this struggle. And a month ago, we were had these same demands. A month ago, I said that our demand was no evictions. And if we didn't get it, we were going to shut this county down.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the only thing that has changed is the date. We are going to fight, whether it's now, whether it's in a week, whether it's in a month. We are going to fight until we have permanent protections for our communities against evictions.
Yeah. Yes! Yes!
I want you all to remember that there is a movement being built every single day, every week, every month against evictions. And we need you. Come talk to me or anyone else in a red shirt, anyone from the PSL. You can get involved. You can help us out. We have things that we need people to do to connect with our communities, see what people need to help defend against evictions. There is work to be done. We need all hands on deck. Because when I say we're going to fight, that's not just a vague platitude. That's a promise. We are going to prevent evictions in this county. We are going to get no more evictions carried out, or we are going to shut it down. What do we want? No evictions. Let me hear you. What do we want?
No evictions.
What do we want?
No evictions.
What do we want?
No.
What do we want?
No evictions.
What do we want?
No.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
Shut it down! Damn right. Thank you all for coming out today. Thank you all.
And I'm going to wrap up this programming of where we're at. Thank you so much for listening. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker, do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. Please stay tuned for more programming. I believe Radio Theater will be coming up after my show. But thank you so much for listening. Have a good night. Take care. 40 years here at WEFT. Let's make it another 40. Keep on rocking. This is The Who from their album Endless Wire. Thank you so much. Here we go. Oops.
Welcome to another pre-recorded edition of Champaign-Urbana Radio Theater. Good evening and welcome to Champaign-Urbana Radio Theater.